Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Okay, so we are in a section of the book that is more intimate than you know, and certainly more intimate to my life the first six times I read the book than I ever knew. We're in a section of the book that talks about you and your brother. You and the other person out there. How important is that to A Course in Miracles? To put in context the separation, you and the person out there that you I have a problem with, and how that person out there seems to make you a victim in here. The book covers this a lot. It does it very subtly in some places, and pretty in your face in other places. So that's what we're studying for the last couple of weeks. And we're working on it again tonight. You remember we had an intensive one, so we went outside of this room, had an offsite, just on that topic, and we just couldn't quite pack it in. Because there's so many intimate, personal aspects of the relationship. You and an other out there. So the sickness that A Course in Miracles says is the only sickness there is separation. The idea that there is an other, careful with my next words, that can act on you. We don't need to somehow no longer see other people in order to be saved. It's not all what the book is talking about. You don't have to suddenly see everything as one big blob of white light and then you're enlightened. That's not the goal at all. That's silly. Not to mention impossible. It's just silly where we are. But we are carefully working at the poison of the sickness of separation. That says there's you, and then there's another. And that other has the power to make you unhappy. The power coming from them being a separate person. That's not right. Just to short end it all. A Course in Miracles works with your mind. A Course in Miracles works with how you see the world. The world is what it is. We will talk a lot about that later. But you know what? Most of what we talk about here is what you can do inside your own head right now to choose peace. And busting the ego along the way of how many ways it actually pushes peace away. Thinking that's going to be better. What am I talking about? I'm talking about anger. I'm talking about defenses. I'm talking about attacking, thinking if I do a little bit of attacking now because it's deserved, it's the right thing. It's only fair. So I'm going to attack now. This is the ego that actually pushes peace away, creating obstacles to peace. Let us heal our minds from this foolishness. Let's just stop that. Look, if even for a day, if even for one day, if you can live a life where you don't attack and you don't defend, one day where you're actually honest and consistent with choosing peace, think peace, speak peace, do peace, just one day, see what happens. What a different life that would be. Even with the TVs on and the politicians are talking? Yeah, even then. Mm-hmm. Now, the part of the book we're in now is dealing with your brother, the other. So I want you all to take the next couple of moments and think deeply about this one word. You know, these meditations, they're designed to be very, very personal, of course. And what you come up with tonight may be different than tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Just find out where you are tonight with this concept, with this word. We're talking about your brother and the other. And the word is Reflection. Reflection. So the good news and the bad news is, it's in your head. If the bad news, if you keep it in your head, it's still going to be there tomorrow. You're still going to have it if you keep it in your head. The good news is, if you let it go, starting the moment you let it go, the relief comes. Out of your head, out of your life. Famous quote, Course in Miracles, chapter 28. Seek not to change your world, but to change your mind about your world. No doubt. Okay, we got some work to do. Jump in. Please turn to page 423 in the text.
That was in the Beatles song, too.
Masako's too young for that. 423, paragraph 15. David W.
This is your brother, crucified by sin and waiting for release from pain. Would you not offer him forgiveness? Only he can offer it to you. For his redemption, he will give you yours, as surely as God created every living thing and loves it. And he will give it truly, for it will be both offered and received. There is no grace of heaven that you cannot offer to your brother and receive from your most holy friend. Let him withhold it not, for by perceiving it you offer it to him, and he will receive of you what you received of him. Redemption has been given you to give your brother and thus receive it. Whom you forgive is free, and what you give you share. Forgive the sins your brother thinks he has committed and all the guilt you think you see in him.
Okay, so the Course in Miracles just did in paragraph 15 is said the same thing 10 times in a row. Yeah. There are 10 sentences and they all mean the same thing. Pretty much. But that's because, you know, it does that every once in a while. It'll say it and it'll say it, hit the hammer, the nail again and again. It's kind of a clue on how important it is, and also how much the author knows you don't want to hear this. Let's check it out. Okay, this is your brother, crucified by sin. What's sin in A Course in Miracles?
Separation.
It's the idea of separation. That you're not connected to God or to everything else. No, you're on your own. And you're going to struggle on your own. That's the ego. That's the world. That's what it calls sin. So there's your brother, crucified by the separation of the world and waiting for release from pain. How do you know somebody's in pain?
I feel a lot of those negative emotions.
There's negative emotions. They're expressing it. Mm-hmm. That's why I know you're in pain. You're making noise. You're probably swearing. You're probably doing things uncharacteristic, maybe of yourself, if you're in a lot of pain. You're not even being the usual you that I know. You're struggling. You're in pain. I do the same thing. I make noise when I'm in pain. I want love. I want calm, sweet, and a nap. That's what I want. Maybe even a full belly. If I don't have those things, maybe even in that order, it's problem. It's trouble time. And that's what happens in the world when people are fighting with us. Or stealing from us. Or taking drugs. Or angry. They are not feeling loved. They are not feeling comfortable. A Course in Miracles is asking us to reframe what we see in the world with upset people, unhappy people, including ourselves. Reframe. Now change your context. The goal of Course in Miracles is to introduce you to the Holy Spirit in your head, which is a translator of the world your body's eyes see. Your body's eyes see trouble. Course says, trouble? Fear? No. That's a call for love. That's somebody who needs help. Okay? This is your brother, crucified by sin and waiting for release from pain. Now, would you not offer him forgiveness when only he can offer it to you? Okay. This is saying that your brother in pain, your brother, period, but especially your brother in pain, the difficult one, the one you're having trouble with, this is the person that's either going to make your life a lot worse with the next thing they say, or a lot better with how you translate it. Because the world will continue to give you troubles. Mm-hmm. It will continue to bring difficult problems and difficult people for the rest of your natural life. Huh? But how you see it will determine what kind of life you're going to live. We're working on a very tough section here. That's why it's so redundant. There's no way you want to hear this. You just want your brother to go solve his own problems, come back at me when you're done. When you're healthy, wealthy, and wise, I'll be your friend. Course says, missed opportunity. Because after all, we're not here to actually have a better life. If you've come to this meeting, you should know. This is a psychological journey enough. All these words and all these sentences and everything. We talk about the mind. It's like the sixth most used word in the book. It's a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening. And I'm here because I've tried all of the physical cures. I've tried becoming smarter, earning more money, changing friends, you know, doing more to make my life secure physically. I've tried that, and I did not find the happiness and the peace that I want, that I need now. This is a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening is the only thing that I have found actually brings me to peace. Now the world can do what it does, and somehow, with my spiritual awakening, I can see through it. I can see past the difficulties. I can look at my brother who is really mad, and somehow I don't have to defend myself right there when what he's trying to do is get heard. What he's trying to do is save his own skin. It's not personal to me. I can see that now. It took a spiritual awakening, though, to get me out of the battleground where I would fight him at the same level, and we would both lose. Look at miracle principle number 8. Right in the front of the book.
Page 3.
I lost my class. My invisible glasses on there is gone. I almost had to get help. Okay. Miracle Principle 8. Do we want to read it for us?
Miracles are healing because they supply a lack. They are performed by those who temporarily have more for those who temporarily have less.
So miracle is a shift in perception. It's a change of your mind on how you're seeing what you see, on what it means to you. You're still seeing the same problem, okay? No problem, no miracle, by the way. Miracles are not holy. They're just a correction. They're moving the right direction. They're getting you out of the mud, out of the dark, into the light. That's what a miracle is. It's a shift from dark to light. And if you are a little more healed, your mind is a little more, your head's a little more on straight. You have a little more patience, for example. You have a little more honesty, for example, than the other person you're dealing with, your brother. You have a little more trust, for example. A little more gentleness, for example. You're a little stronger, for whatever reason, in that moment. It's up to you to bring the miracle. You will now be the bringer of light. You will be the agent of the Holy Spirit. You don't attack. Just try it. Just try it. Just bite your tongue and say, why don't you tell me more about that? Well, I'll tell you more, they say, and off they go. Just see what happens. As you stay, you go more calm and they go more. Just see what happens. It could change your relationship for all time. Okay. Alright, back to page 423, please. Sentence 3. We're going to take the hammer and hit the nail again. For your brother's redemption, if you give it to him, right? He will give you yours. As surely as God created every living thing and loves it. Next sentence. And he will give your redemption truly. For it will be both offered and received. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about when you change your mind about this attack that you seem to be seeing. As you shift your mind to what it really is, it's the same thing that you would be doing if you're the one who is attacking. That's what your brother is doing. They're calling for love. They're trying to get back to normal. When you see that, you are wise and you are helpful and you can actually join. Compassion is born in that moment. You don't feel like you have to defend yourself. You duck, right? The fist comes out. Just duck for that, okay? Of course. Of course. We're talking about inside. Inside you choose peace. Inside you slow down. Inside a little compassion goes a long way. Next sentence. There is no grace of heaven that you cannot offer to your brother and receive from your most holy friend, with a capital F. Holy Spirit's right in there with you. As you back up, the Holy Spirit steps forward. Your ego backs away from this hot situation in what you think is a dangerous silence. Holy Spirit steps in and empowers that moment to de-escalate. Just try it. Sentence 6. Now let him withhold it not, for by receiving it of you, offer it to him. Let him withhold it not, for by receiving it, you offer it to him. And he will receive of you what you received of him. Do you see the circle? This is just yet another place where Course in Miracles is pronouncing, now in different words, okay? But you all recognize. This is the law of mind, the law of love, the law of spirit, the law of what else? But this is, if you want to wonder, what can I say that's true? Anybody ever ask you, hey, what's the truth? What is the truth anyway, they say? What is true? Sometimes that's kind of hard to answer, isn't it? But here, within this sentence, is revealing something that's true. And it's this. As you give, you receive. When and how much? As you give, you receive instantly. You know this is true. You give fear, you get fear. You give patience, you get patient. Who knows what happens on the outside? Doesn't matter. When it's coming through your head, you're experiencing it. Instantly. So it's true. So it's always true. And there's never a time when it isn't true that what you think you get. Mm-hmm. So, there's a truth for you. Well, it sure as heck applies here too. When you're dealing in a relationship with somebody else, as you give, you receive. Who knows what happens to them? But I know what happens to you.
Right. Sometimes just by watching the truth, that's so powerful.
Yeah.
Popcorn's free.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh God. We're talking about spiritual butter.
Yeah. No, that's a point, Mario.
I'm just saying, because you can use that all the time. As long as I stand in my position, if I stand with the truth and things, oh, come on, you want some of this?
Yeah. Huh? Yep.
Well, you know, I'm not saying to be mean. I'll share my popcorn, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, what I heard is if you stand with the truth of it, you see, that means you have to step back and see the truth of it. And now you can stand strong.
Yeah.
If you're running ahead with your mouth going 100 miles per hour, who knows what's true?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's cool. What I heard was my interpretation, which is just going to be my stuff. I heard that I don't have to actually do anything. If I can just be open to listening to the truth, just be with the truth, just that, I might not have to do anything at all.
At all. Yeah. Amen, brother.
Well, that's been cool for me.
Yeah.
Not to do anything. Just be present with that.
It's safe.
Ten is eight. Redemption has been given you to give your brother and thus receive it. Again, the same circle. He's saying it again and again and again. Let's do it again. How about sentence 9? Whom you forgive is free. And what you give, you share. Do you see the circle? Again. I wonder if he means it. Well, let's see if he says it again in the next sentence. Forgive the sins your brother thinks he has committed, and all the guilt you think you see in him.
What's the saying?
It's the same. Whoa. All right. Ray, would you read for us paragraph 16?
Sure. Here is the holy place of resurrection to which we come again, to which we will return until redemption is accomplished and received. Think who your brother is before you would condemn him, and offer thanks to God that he is holy and has been given the gift of holiness for you.
And by the way, holiness in A Course in Miracles, this is a really interesting word to have unravel as you study it year over year. But another way to think of holiness is innocence.
Mm-hmm.
Real innocence.
Mm-hmm.
Innocence like you're owning it. That the innocence of oneness is holiness. So reread that sentence, please, again. Yeah, think who your brother is.
Oh yeah, think who your brother is before you would condemn him.
Yeah.
And offer thanks to God that he is holy and has been given the gift of holiness for you.
Yes.
Join him in gladness and remove all the trace of guilt from his disturbed and tortured mind. Help him to lift the heavy burden of sin you lay upon him, and he accepts it as his own, and toss it lightly and with happy laughter away from him. Press it not like thorns against his brow, nor nail him to it, unredeemed and hopeless.
Wow, isn't this giving you a lot of responsibility for solving a problem where you think you're a victim? Isn't this SOB need to be slapped upside and told what's right? Of Course in Miracles is like turning this completely around and saying, no, you need to see some innocence there. See the holiness. Don't share your brother's idea of how upset and sick and unfairly treated he is. That's a common theme in this book, too, of how you really get your head straight. You don't share the sickness you think you see coming out of him. That's how you dance a horrible cycle into the ground.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing. We don't really think about doing that, but that's very important. You know, even though we look at that sometimes, we don't, you know, get in the old habit.
Yeah. And then...
That's not supporting bad behavior, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it just makes it real. Yeah. You push against it and fight against it and tell the person how wrong they are. Well, that makes the whole problem more real.
Yeah, the biggest thing I like to do now is that's what I am looking for constantly, to be in that position where you're not supporting that behavior.
Yeah.
I find that, looking at that helps me to not end up attacking.
Not end up attacking.
Yeah, that's the most helpful thing I can do. Otherwise it wasn't working, but when I started looking at that, it just changed.
Yes.
Slowly, but it's happening.
Yes, yes. And how, you know, how you do this, how do you exactly do this, in what situation? Well, you know, we would have to take each one apart and figure it out. No, that would be take too long. How you do this is you learn to get in contact with the Holy Spirit in your head. The same part of your mind that never gets upset. The same part of your mind that's still connected to the truth. You have to get a relationship with a part of you. We call it the Holy Spirit. It's just a part of your mind still connected to the truth, still connected to God. That's a still, quiet, small voice that can never talk over your ego, ever. But when you quiet your ego, suddenly shows up. Maybe it's to say nothing. In a moment when your ego says, here's your chance to really bust them. And you don't. They know this is your chance to bust them, and you don't. What kind of power does that have? Believe me, you stepping back and letting him lead the way can have profound implications in the first conversation you have when you try listening with the Holy Spirit. Masako.
I want to say a little... something about the idea of when I give to receive,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, and what it looks like in my life is that when I give, there's no thinking about what's going to happen next. Because when I receive whatever it is that I'm giving in the moment, let's say generosity, because that's one of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So I extend that generosity, then as it flows out of me, I'm free.
Yes.
I am totally freed up, like an empty space.
Yes.
And whatever appears after that is recognized as love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's so magical.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with the world. It's mm-hmm. a reflection or a projection.
Yeah, or it might be the opposite of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Might be you actually showing up doing the opposite of the world for a few moments.
Yeah. But I just love that. It really is. It presents me to this is what it's all about, is my inner peace and my freedom.
Yes.
Because that's all that I need to do. Everything else is love. And I always see that when I extend.
Yes. You might even have a good day.
Best.
I mean, really. That's how practical you're talking here. This is true. Yeah.
I'm struggling.
Bring it.
Okay. I'm not necessarily an attacker.
Okay.
That's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I think is my big, that's just not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem is, I see someone who is in pain for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
And what came up for me while we were doing this was, I have a fear, and I've been trying to put my words into what the fear is about, And it feels like it's a fear that in being generous and being sharing of myself and all that, I will somehow, what they are like will be infused in me.
You might catch it, but contagious.
Yeah, it's almost like I can't turn my back on them, and therefore we are one. So when we were doing the reflection meditation, I was thinking what I was feeling, that what I like about reflection is when I see someone and I can see their holiness in them. When I see the holiness in them, because they're not acting out of their holiness, when the energy is not that kind of energy, then I feel like I can get infected by that energy.
Vulnerable.
Yes, right. And it's true, right? You can get infected by the negative energy if you share it. If you see it as powerful, you probably have to defend yourself then. And you get infected by it. This is true. This is true.
So I have to pull out my own holiness in order not to have that happen.
That is true.
And that requires a lot of effort sometimes.
You never underestimate the ego.
That's what it feels like. It feels like I'm fighting the ego almost all the time.
Yeah.
And it really gets tiring.
Yeah.
I'd rather go home than take a nap.
I know what you mean.
And if my dogs would quit barking when I try, I would.
Well, Luann, you put your finger on it. Because what we're dealing with A Course in Miracles and all those lessons is we're learning that the ego has no power that we don't give it. Actively give it.
And I feel like fighting the ego doesn't work.
Makes it stronger.
Then I get into its game.
Yes.
And I don't like being in the ego's game.
Even with a good Course in Miracles student, when you end up fighting with the ego, you end up lying to yourself. Good Course in Miracles student knows that the ego is in their mind and it's just a story about themselves and their image, what they're trying to keep up. And they say, well, I'm a good Course in Miracles student and I've chosen, I'm going to be a holy, happy person. I'm going to forgive everybody and I'm not going to attack. Okay? But if you're still fighting those ideas, if you're trying not to attack, you should recognize that you need to go back to your lessons. If you're trying to forgive, you have not yet arrived at A Course in Miracles gifts. What you have is a spiritual ego who's trying not to ruffle feathers and try to earn some forgiveness. That's the ego. You've not yet arrived at the freedom that comes of seeing the ego has no power, you don't get it.
I think this is coming. Every time I come here, I'm just on a lesson that it affects. I'm not quite sure how that works. So I'm on lesson 110. Nice. I am as God created me.
Okay. Yes. So, Masako, will you turn the light on?
That's the most common lesson in the whole book, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
20 days
ago. No phrase is repeated more.
So at the bottom of that, I love the part where it says, I'm as God forgave me, created me. His Son can suffer nothing, and I'm the Son. So, and I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the bottom of that, what that all brought up for me, and I wrote, this is why I want and am striving to have no judgment, as we all are together as one, as God created us. So that's how I want to. Reflection for me is I want to look at someone and see the godliness in them, because that reassures me I have it in me.
I want to go with your contagious word on this.
Okay,
if you're in the presence of something dangerous, you could catch it from the other person. It's coming from them and could change you. It contagious, right? If they've got something going on and you feel, if you get close enough to it, it'll become you. I like this concept because that's a reflection, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're here to recognize, and if you sat with some of those words, you know, saying that, wow, I can be hurt by nothing? but aren't I going to die? I mean, don't I get hungry? And what happens if I crash my car? I'm hurt then, right? Wait a minute, what's the title?
I am a guy.
Oh, got to rethink this whole thing about vulnerability. You're being called in lesson 110 to go to another level of existence. Yes, in the world, your body can be hurt. It will, and it'll die. Jesus died too. What this is calling us to is a spiritual awareness that there's something that has always been with you and will still be with you, even as the story of the body goes down to the dust from where it came. From there you get your strength. Not from making sure the body never gets hurt. From you get your strength from having, even for a moment, an identification with the spirit. Something has nothing to do with your body and everything to do with you. That's why it's to be known that this is a spiritual journey. And your only peace, the only peace, Luann, you can actually keep is when you find peace of being as God created you. And not as you made yourself. You made yourself into a body. You made yourself into a place where you have to breathe in and out on a regular basis or you die. This is what you made yourself. And it's fine. There's no sin. It's fine. It'll go on. It's fine. It's just not true. It's real. It's real enough, right? But if you're open to the idea of a spiritual awakening, you have to understand that it's not true that you are a body only. Now, once you get that, and you drop in a few meditations with this book, when you get a sentence like your lesson today, something grabs you, you'll know what I mean when you get one. Stop. Close your eyes. Spend a few minutes just breathing in those words. I am determined to see. I'm determined to see differently. This surrender, this commitment is a huge invitation. Take any of these thousands of things in this book. In that can be a spiritual awakening in which is born your maybe the first time you ever even met you. It's very peaceful, it's very spacious, and it's a place to go to that's invulnerable in the face of something that your ego says is dangerous. Otherwise, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. If you don't eventually visit you as God created you, if you don't eventually visit an awareness of yourself that's not a victim to the world, you will be a victim to the world. You will always be defending yourself from the world. If not today, then tomorrow. And there will be no peace for you. Of course, right? I mean, we get hungry, we get old, we get cold, our bank account, the IRS, I mean, who knows what else? Always, always, always. But through these workbook lessons, through what we do here, if you just have one moment that says, but I am actually something other than what I appear to be. My ego's reflection is not me. In that is born a power nobody can take from you. From a good meditation is born a stillness nobody can take from you. From a sense of peace of mind, when you're in trouble, this is the best. When things are tough and you call on the miracle, you call on the Holy Spirit, and you actually go calm, the other person goes meteoric. And you find strength in that. It happens. So miracles are for. The de-escalation is about stepping away from the ego is about. And in that place, when you step back and the Holy Spirit steps forward and a calmer mind prevails, the strength in that moment is what we're talking about. And that's as God created you. The invulnerable spirit nature.
We get lessons about that all the time.
You betcha.
I got into a panic attack on Monday because I had done my property taxes through e-check, and my checking account never reflected a deduction. Mm-hmm. So Monday night, I decided to go back and check to see if on my computer to see what had happened, and it said this transaction is an error. There's an error in this transaction. I thought, oh crap! But by that time, it was 9 o'clock at night, and the office for tax collecting is closed at 8, and 8 is the last hour that you can do anything about your property tax, not midnight like income tax. So I was in a panic by this time. I got in my car, I wrote a new check, I took my car down, I thought I was going to leave it in, and then I got down there and said, that's asinine. It doesn't have a date on it, it's just a check sitting in an envelope, anybody can get it, who knows what's going to happen to it. So I come back home. And I left a message before I left with the office saying, I've already taken care of this. I thought, now what do I do? So the next morning, I was on the lesson, I rest in God.
109?
Yeah, 109.
Yeah.
And the next morning, one of my clients canceled without telling me. So I was wandering around my house. The phone rang. I don't normally answer a phone that doesn't have an ID, mm-hmm. but I thought I might answer it. And it was the office. Mm-hmm. And she said, if you come down, this has not been resent back out, saying it's not paid. If you get here in time and bring a check, then it'll be okay. And then I said, I panicked for 2 hours last night before I went to bed. The first thing in the morning I was thinking about it. My stomach has been tight all day. And if I just rested in God, I would have been okay.
Yep. The world.
It's like,
wow.
Every single lesson, I have a lesson about my lesson.
The county of Santa Cruz called you to make your life better.
Yes.
How often does that happen? You live a blessed life. Holy cannoli.
Yeah. So when I first read I Am As God Created, it made me feel so good. And then my ego started talking at me. Oh my God.
Turn to page text 250. In the text.
We're over and over in one place.
This is a wonderful section. I just want to read it over and over, as you can tell. It's my excuse, the way I can actually make us go backwards. Let's read this section tonight.
The whole section?
Yes.
Finding the present?
Yes. Bridget, are you ready to page
250? Sure. To perceive truly is to be aware of all reality through the awareness of your own. But for this, no illusions can rise to meet your sight, for reality leaves no room for any error. This means that you perceive a brother only as you see him now. His past has no reality in the present, so you cannot see it. Your past reactions to him are also not there, and if it is to them that you react, you see but an image of him that you made and cherished instead of him.
It's like a lie, right? You're lying to yourself, the Course is saying. Please continue.
In your questioning of illusions, ask yourself if it is really sane to perceive what was as now. If you remember the past as you look upon your brother, you will be unable to perceive the reality that is now.
There's a whole paragraph that is just talking about, hey, get present. Quit taking your stinking thinking from yesterday or last year about something somebody did and pinning it on them now. Is that what you want for yourself? To be held to your past? I don't think so. Look at Miracle Principle 13. First person to get there, read it for us. It's on page 4.
Miracles are both beginnings and endings. And so they alter the temporal order. They are always affirmations of rebirth that seem to go back but really go forward. They undo the past in the present and thus release the future.
Boom!
That's right.
Boom. Fix! Correct, because the ego is very much trying to build from its past experience to prepare for a better future. Sounds pretty innocent, really. Why not? The problem is, nowhere in that is the present. You're always trying to prepare for a future using the past. The past is over. And in fact, back in the past, when you were collecting all this valuable information, you weren't present then either. You were in some past before that trying to prepare for a future then too. So, you were lying to yourself then, you're lying to yourself now, and guess what's coming tomorrow? Wake up from this foolishness. Look at the section that we're reading.
What's it's a circle also, isn't it?
It's a circle! It's a vicious circle. Yes. Look at the section we're reading. It's called Finding the Present. Okay, let's go. David M. Paragraph 2.
Consider it natural to use your past experience as the reference point from which to judge the present. Yet this is unnatural because it is delusional. When you have learned to look on everyone with no reference at all to the past, either his or yours as you perceived it, you will be able to learn from what you see now. For the past can cast no shadow to darken the present unless you are afraid of light. And only if you are would you choose to bring darkness with you. And by holding it in your mind, see it as a dark cloud that shrouds your brothers and conceals their reality from your sight.
I think if you shroud yourself too.
Yes. It's like carrying a bad habit with you. Mm-hmm. No, let it down, let it go. Try present. Try getting simple and being present now. Yeah. There's more. You guys?
Okay. This is the darkness in you.
Whoa, that sounds pretty personal. Whoa.
Well, that's the...
Is that what it says?
Of Course in Miracles. Yeah.
You're welcome to Course in Miracles. Course in Miracles essentially says we found the problem and it's you.
When I first opened it, I was on 242.
And that was a pretty brutal opener.
Was it?
It's something like the fear inside of you forgives you or something like that.
What did it say?
The fear of redemption.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty personal.
Yeah, that Christ as revealed to you now has no past, for he is
Changeless.
And in his changelessness lies your release. For if he is as he was created,
there's Luann's lesson.
There is no guilt in him. No cloud of guilt. He
has risen
to obscure him, and he stands revealed in everything you meet because you see him through himself.
Do you see the circle? He stands revealed in everyone you meet because you see him through himself. You know what rose-colored glasses? Remember the rose-colored glasses? You put on the glasses with the different colored, and everything's now colored rose because that's what you're looking through. It's all rosy because you put on rosy glasses. So also it would be if you correct your mind and you see things as Christ would see it. You now have this perspective. Please continue.
Okay. To be born again is to let the past go and look without
condemnation
upon the present.
Yo! I hope that sentence is highlighted in your book. To be born again is to let the past go. I mean, literally. If you had complete amnesia, you couldn't remember even your name, you couldn't remember anything, you'd have no problems. Right? You guys know that restaurant down the road here on Highway 1 called Nepenthe?
Yeah.
You ever read the back of the menu? Nepenthe is a drink. It was made up by the apothecary. See, what happened was, as the story goes, there's a kingdom, and everything was happy, but a war came up. And so the king and the son got on their horses and rode off to go fight the war, leaving the queen, and they were both killed in battle. When news came back, the queen was so distraught. She couldn't function. She was so sad and depressed. Well, day turned into week, turned into month, and there was no government to plant the seeds. They couldn't control the water flow and the flood, and the whole kingdom started to degrade. And the vassals came up and said, "My queen, you must make some decisions now about how to use resources to plant the crops, to prevent the floods, to take care of." She says, "I can't, please, another day. I can't think of anything. I've lost my king. I've lost my son. I can't do anything like that." Well, the doctor, apothecary guy, he says, "You know, this won't do. We're all going to die. Here comes the winter. We need some big decisions made about resources for the kingdom." So he mixes up a little cocktail called Nepenthe. And what it is it's a little potion that's going to make her forget everything. To surcease sorrow. And he says, "Here, my queen, have this tea. Make you feel better." She drinks it. She forgets about the king. She forgets about the son. She wakes up and says, "Wow, what a day. My goodness. What are these seeds still doing? These need to be in the ground weeks ago." She calls up the rest of the army and says, "You guys are now farmers, and you're going to plant these seeds post-haste, and then you're going to bring water to put on those seeds, and it'll all happen today." And it did. And she went about doing other things in the kingdom, and she had a great day. She took care of things. She remembered to take care of the other loved ones in her life because she let her past go, even just for a little while. Returned to instant functionality, unburdened from her own mind.
That was on the back of the menu?
I elaborated a little bit. But yes.
Can you buy that drink?
Yeah. That's called special.
Yeah. Do you have the recipe? I have a few little
boys. I do have the recipe.
That too?
Yeah. Right? Yes.
That would be what she gives so that she can receive it.
That's right, isn't it? Yeah.
Well,
yes. Well, sure enough, that's our course of miracle. I mean, here we are, to let go of your past to be reborn. It's true. It's just simply true. Now, you don't need a Course in Miracles to tell you this, but you might need a Course in Miracles to drag you through it until you believe it. I'll just tell you. I'm going to break the news to you. You're all sitting down, so this is good. Okay, your past is over. Forget about it. There's nothing it can do. There's nothing it can do to reach out and come into your head and make you think anything. Your past is over. It can touch you not. That's one of the lessons.
Isn't that kind of what the Bible means when it says, "Be as a little child"?
Yeah, it is. It's one of the, yes, absolutely. The beauty of a little child is that they know that they don't know. Why don't you know that you don't know? Let the present just be as it is. That's what we're doing right here. Yes? Yes.
About reality and ego and all.
Oh, yeah, but that's what we're here for.
How do you interact with someone who's so
and so incredibly driven by the past.
Well, first off, your teacher has arrived when that has happened.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Well, I know that.
That was first off. Yes. Wait for his next one. Right.
And second off is your opportunity to be teacher has arrived as well.
Okay, sure.
So the teaching learning experience is present. Mm-hmm. The way you deal with a person who is so pathologically stuck on the past mm-hmm. is you demonstrate with your own life choices and words on how the past is over and it can touch you not. You not tell them. You can't tell them that they're free of their past because they are living there. You can only show them that you are free of your past. You have one too. You got a past.
No, I forgot.
Yeah.
She's the queen.
And you just show your freedom. This is the way you would demonstrate. Also, the best way to work with kids, too. You know, by demonstration rather than speaking. Especially teenagers.
Even 16-year-olds?
Especially the 16-year-olds! They know. They know too much.
Oh, yes.
You can't tell them. You can only show them. Yeah. Masako.
Well, this whole conversation reminds me of when you asked Julie last week about definition of forgiveness, mm-hmm. right? So for me, forgiveness is a big distinction because it's a rebirthing, another way of rebirthing. So just to recap what Julie said, about forgiveness, it really has nothing to do with your exterior world. It has to do with what's happening in your mind. So whatever it is that I'm witnessing in my world, and I get triggered or in reaction or with this person that you just shared about, it's always about my capacity to allow that in and be okay with it. Okay? It's always about that. So it's about forgiveness. You know, I'm breaking down the barrier, say, okay, all right, so this is the obstacle to my love, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really critical for me. It's important. It's the only thing that's important. Mm-hmm. So I begin to embrace, I begin to welcome these disturbing, ugly, mean, whatever that experience, feelings, and emotions are. And knowing at the same time that this is all an illusion. It's temporal. It's going to come and it's going to go. Mm-hmm. Because none of it is real. Mm-hmm. So that's the part of the forgiveness. So when I can begin to accept it and allow all those feelings that I wasn't willing to before I forgave, again, it frees me up. Because mm-hmm. I am no longer saying, that distance, that mm-hmm. separation.
Yes.
Now, love mm-hmm. is all there is. So yes. There's no threat, no separation, no limitation. I'm all in one. It's about oneness. It's about being in love with yourself. Mm-hmm.
And it's also about finding the present in those situations. Mm-hmm. For you to actually act from and in the present instead of acting from the past for the future. From the past, what you know about this person, for the future, to defend yourself so they don't cost you more later. Being in the present and only in the present. This is a very interesting challenge, and the welcome to love that you're talking about.
When the act of forgiveness starts, mm-hmm. that's when things clear up, uh-huh. and something yes. else is made available in that presence, in yes. that moment. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way it can occur.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the ego is always controlling. You know, okay, what's the next step? Okay.
Yep.
But that knowing, you know, in that not knowing, it really makes everything possible.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's a miracle.
And also an amazing thing happens too when you're willing to be in the present, really be in the present now. Patience is born in you. And whoever you're dealing with, the person who's stuck in the past or the person who's worried about the future, when you're actually in the present moment, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can actually do this. Just say, I'm going to be here now. I'm going to worry about tomorrow, and yesterday, let it go. You will change. What do I mean? Literally, you will change. Your shoulders drop, your eyes open, your eye sockets open a little more. There's no wrinkle up here. You're talking to somebody who's worried, and you're worried too. You're both worried. It's escalation of worry. But if you're actually in the present moment in this meditative state of really being loving, you change the situation. As you give, you receive. You get cooled down. And so do they. And you can actually find a pretty interesting moment right there, Masako. And indeed, that's what love looks like.
And sometimes it does not look like a good idea to let go. Mm-hmm. Because as Luann was sharing about, you know, not wanting to be eaten up by this outside force.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the situation, sometimes it looks like, no, I don't want to relinquish my right to make my own judgment and to let go. That takes really active courage and bravery.
Yeah.
Really does. And nobody else knows except for you what's happening all in here.
To really let go.
Yeah.
Think about what you do with a wild animal. A wild animal that was scared. If you took the scared wild animal and you put it in a smaller space versus you put the wild animal in an open field with no fences. Good night, Misako.
Good night.
Think of the difference. Constriction, unconstricted. You can feel immediately what that's about.
Isn't that kind of what we're saying about forgetting the past? If we forgive the past, if we forget the past,
yes,
rather than forgive the past, just forget it,
mm-hmm,
in all our interactions, then we're giving everyone else space.
Mm-hmm.
Because how can they expand and become free and peaceful if we're constricting them into what their past has been?
You got it. Chains of the past.
I adore my granddaughter. She's absolutely wonderful. And she has done one thing in her life that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight I'm realizing, as much as I adore her, as much as I interact with her with love, I've got to let that one thing be gone.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not about I have to forgive her at all. It's about I just have to let it go.
Just let it go in your mind.
Because forgiving her, when I read forgiveness in this book, I don't read it about forgiving somebody for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I read it as forgiving myself for feeling separated from them.
Mm-hmm. You're forgiving your own thoughts about the situation.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is another word for release. Release, let it go.
Right.
And you know, forgiveness in the world is, I'm not going to punish you for what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just an attack saying you did something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm much, so much better, I'm not going to attack you for it. Forgiveness, of Course in Miracles, is I've just realized that my whole discomfort about what seemed to happen is in me.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to do with you. And I want peace. So I'm going to change my thoughts. I'm going to release my punishing thoughts about what I thought I perceived. But you see, the miracle is in there. It says that nothing outside comes inside. The miracle's present first, a shift in perception. There's nothing out there that has power over there to come over here and change me. Whoa! This is an antecedent. Miracle, then forgiveness. Just doing forgiveness, if you believe there's something out there that can hurt you, it'll come back again and again. And you're lying to yourself. Watch these words now. If you think something's out there that can hurt you and you're not going to defend yourself from it, you're a sucker. Because it's going to come get you, right? something out there is dangerous, you will suffer. That's the way of the world. A Course in Miracles, you recognize that even though the body may suffer, your mind does not have to suffer. It's what you decide is what you get. If you decide you're going to just let it go, it's gone. Yes, it's going to cost us so much money. Oh, it costs us so much time. Yeah, but I'd rather be peaceful. If that's how it's going to be, guess what? You're going to sleep okay tonight.
Yeah, it's going to cost me $250, and I went and panicked about it, and I thought, that's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. Yep. When you recognize that you seek no further than your own mind, you're empowered now for some pretty good days. But if you still leave it out there, if out there is okay, then you're okay. If you're waiting for out there to be okay, you're in for a tough life. It's just going to keep coming again and again. But I'm here to tell you, there's another way. Because you're in your head. Okay, let's read another paragraph. Who's up?
Did you finish up?
I must have interrupted you. Please continue.
I'm on 5 or 6.
Go for 5.
Okay. To be born again is to let the past go. And to let without
condemnation
upon the present.
Yeah.
The cloud that obscures God's Son to you is the past. And if you would have the past and gone, you must not see it now. If you see it now, you're
in your illusions.
In your illusions. It has not gone from you, although it is not there.
You know, these are kid gloves, right? Jesus is handling us very gently but certainly. Hey, look, if you keep thinking about it, it's going to stay. Even though it's gone, if you keep thinking about it, it's going to stay. The book is taking time and print and ink to point this out. And then we have to remind ourselves over and over. Okay, let's continue. Julie, next paragraph.
Pass, please.
4. Are you reading, Julie?
No, pass.
Oh, she passed. Okay, Mario, 4.
Number 4?
Yes.
Time can release as well as imprison, depending on whose interpretation of it you use. Past, present, and future are not continuous unless you force continuity on them. You can perceive them as continuous and make them so far for you. But do not be deceived and then believe that this is how it is. For to believe reality is what you would have it be according to your use for it is delusional. You would destroy time continuously by breaking it into past, present, and future for your own purpose. You would anticipate the future on the bias of your past experience and plan for it accordingly. Yet by doing so, you are aligning past and future and not allowing the miracle which could intervene between them to free you to be born again.
You know, I've asked so many times. Can I? Okay. This is such an important question. It's really good to integrate this. When do you love? When do you love?
Only now.
Are you going to love next week?
That was my plan, but now it has to change.
And are you still loving something in the past last year? Last year? No.
Why do I still love my illusions?
If you do, you love them now. They're not past, and there's nothing. The future never comes. It never comes. The past is, by definition, over. So it's gone. can only love now. You can only love in the present. And if you want love, you better find the present. Let's continue.
The past doesn't count.
That doesn't count. That's right, Dust. Spent.
I already loved him.
Hey, what have you done for me lately? Oh, okay, let's continue.
Five.
Yep.
The miracle enables you to see your brother without his past and so perceive him as born again. His errors are all past, and by perceiving him without them, you are releasing him. And since his past is yours, you share in this release.
Ooh.
Let no dark cloud out of your past obscure him from you, for truth lies only in the present, and you will find it if you seek it there. You have looked for it where it is not, and therefore have not found it. Learn then to seek it where it is, and it will dawn on eyes that see. Your past was made in anger, and if you use it to attack the present, you will not see the freedom that the present holds.
Just like that.
Oh my goodness.
Just like that. Don't smear the mud of the past around your present, making your beautiful, simple present muddy. It's just that simple. But we're so accustomed to defending ourselves from the future and hanging on to the hurts from the past that we skip over the present, where all of love and life is, where simplicity is. That's a lesson we have to learn over and over till you try it a few times and find how free you really are.
Where does it actually evolve from in the human, in the ego? Like, so speaking of a 16-year-old who's had a rough couple of years and so traumatized by it, yet trying to move forward.
Yeah. It's a... Good night, Ray.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, Julie. It's perfectly natural. The 16-year-old is tending to a garden. And the garden is full of ego. And this is what they are producing and harvesting. And so when somebody is very busy with their garden, they are focused on getting what it will deliver. So what changes is at some point, and usually it's not a very good event in one's life, but we learn to doubt gardening the ego. And a 16-year-old is right in the middle of it. Again, your lesson is to demonstrate beyond the ego a calmness that you see right through it. You see past it.
And where does it come from, that innocence of childhood, to the knowledge of the past?
The world trains us. We're trained. We listen to that world. We project that world, and we learn from that. We train ourselves to do this.
Yes.
The reason I'm not very good at being in the present is because I've spent so much energy trying to not be in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was delusional. Because I didn't understand.
Yes.
What do you think of how you grew up and where you learned all that you know about what you think about life? Your daughter did the same thing.
And remember, there's a bigger picture here. Your daughter, you, everybody on the planet is really busy in being me. Being something. And having full control over you. Being a separate individual person. Now the problem is that the better you get at just being you, the less better you are at loving anybody else. Or understanding anybody else. The better you get at just being you, the less capable you get of having compassion for anybody else. So the world is designed to separate you from God. The whole world. So your daughter's actually peak of her game.
Prime target.
Peak world. Prime target. She's doing great. She's doing great. To have the separate experience. And so, you know.
I just realized I received a huge gift.
How's that?
I got married and lost who I was.
Aha.
And 25 years later, I went to an amazing therapist, and he would say, what do you want to talk about? And I'd say, I don't know. And then we'd start discovering for that day some part of myself that was not influenced by the past. Mm. Because I didn't have one, but I lost myself.
Yeah.
For 25, 24 years.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a gift.
Yes. Well, you know, of course, and one of the lessons we'll have you do this too, it really does bring you into the present moment. And if you're doing it and you're awake and you're actually doing the lesson, it says nothing happens in the present moment. You can't even die in the present moment. It would take time to die. You'd have to let the last breath out, like all the way, and then close your eyes, and then you'd be dead. Oh, how many milliseconds is that? I don't know. It's a lot. You can't even die right now. Look how free you are when you get the idea of what the present really is. It's just being fully free, fully present, infinite possibility right now. And then now. And then again, now. Start over now. And that's where you actually live. That's why it says, there's no death. There's a dream of death. You can play it out one day, sure. It's just another dream.
Without some kind of reminder, without the book reminding me, and I love when I'm not a body, I am free, I'm still as God created me, is like, but without that, like, reminding what the book does, without reinforming me, without letting me know that I'm really this spirit.
Yes.
As long as I'm still thinking that there's something else, that ego system just it just keeps going. There's no way out of that. And it's because, but once I kind of, oh wait, I'm being made aware that I'm actually not this.
Yeah.
And then the entire other thought system can operate. But I can't, I try to tell people, you're not a body. They kind of go like, yeah. I there's certain things I say that to me just comes out of my mouth.
Yes.
But I can't just tell them, you're not a body, so what? But there's a process going on. And for me, it's, I'm learning. I'm still learning it.
Yes.
I'm not a body. But with that awareness that of a different identity.
Yes.
Because if I start with my identity as the past and this, if I'm there, I can't get here.
Yep.
Cannot. So information has to come outside of that psychosocial thought system I have. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're wrong about this.
Uh-huh.
No matter what you thought you believed. But with, so I can see somebody else and I go, am I in my right mind? And go,
yes.
Wow, that person just like me.
Yeah, that's it.
And but if they don't see that, or most of the time I don't.
Yes.
They don't need to be saved. They're perfectly fine. When I'm acting in that way, I'm trying to save them for my own image.
Yep, that's it.
But when I step back from that, I can be truly helpful, hopefully.
Yes.
But it's by, they're going through something.
That's right.
I go through things.
Yes.
It's not who they are.
Yes. All you do is not support their idea that they are vulnerable and a victim. That's it.
But
don't support their idea.
The training is, I need to save them because it'll look bad on me if they don't get saved.
Okay, yeah, that's, of course, you know, that's a rat hole.
Right, so we just step back from that. And once I started to go like,
good.
This ego stuff really isn't me.
Yes, good.
And I can actually have thoughts and then go, I think that thought is true.
Yes.
Whoa, like that's a new one. That's like, whoa. Like, I didn't know. I'm going like, wait a second, I don't even have any glasses on. And then I'm like, oh man, how do you take those glasses off? Like, I'm seeing through.
Right?
And it's like,
that's right.
Okay, so like,
that's like a habit.
What an amazing thing.
Yes.
That whole thing can be, it can all be undone.
Undone.
I just can't hang on to the idea that I'm an ego, that's my identity.
That's correct.
That is real.
That's correct. And that's some free wild thinking.
The freedom of, I'm not correct in that. What I've learned isn't all true.
There you go, brother. This is your way out of an endless maze.
I don't have to keep doing this game. It's been a habit.
And you would not do this game with anybody else changing whatsoever.
And then somehow, which to me is quite miraculous, just as I can think that someone's problems are contagious to me and I don't want to have them, what an amazing thing is to say, well, I'll just put out some love. Like, well, love is contagious too. Like, the light, the darkness went away once I shined the light on it. Like that, to feel that, to experience that. Because I don't really think so. Someone's getting a big problem, they're arguing with me, and I just try to go, well, isn't that a...
And you know what, Stephen? The Course in Miracles gives you permission to do this when it says your one function, your one goal, your one job is to choose the atonement for yourself. Even when you're dealing with your 16-year-old daughter, even his mom, your one job is to get your side of the street clean. Your one job is to get your head straight. But you're not a body. You are free. You remain as God created you. And now you somehow are more peaceful. Somehow you're more capable of dealing with the world because you're not panicking.
And the habit of always being out there.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's a habit. No, that's a perfect
once
word.
Once again, bring it back to me. And that's an amazing thing. That somehow that was not in my experience.
Yeah.
That if I just can be with this, that other stuff doesn't really matter.
Yep.
Can I be helpful to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but not like in the old way.
Very good.
And I just take care of myself. Well, I can be present with that.
Yes.
Wow. Still learning what that's about.
Yep. I have a confidence to do that.
You go like, whoa, I just do this and that changed.
Yep.
Which is still in their illusion, but like...
That's right.
Wow, like I needed to experience some of these things to really feel it.
That's right.
And then hopefully I can, be present enough to be present.
Yes, you know what the word transcend means? Transcend or to float above, to go beyond. And that's what you're talking about here. In any situation in the world, that you would transcend the difficulty and gravity of an ego situation or even a 16-year-old rant. You can get drawn into a 16-year-old's world and you end up speaking like they speak. That does not end up well. You have to transcend. You have to rise above the sickness and break those habits.
Well, I do it for myself.
Yes.
It helps the other person.
It turns out, takes two to tango. Takes two to dance.
I just thought of the way to do that. That seems like a rather easy way for me.
Yes.
And that is, if I can say... A person's past does not make
them
who they are now.
Yes.
And then I say, well, my past doesn't make who I am
there
now.
There you go.
And there is no now.
Yeah.
And I don't have any of that past. That's not me.
You're reborn.
The person is reborn. They're not who I thought they were.
Yeah.
Because now it's different. Or now it's not. Anyway, and so therefore I'm reborn.
You're reborn.
I'm reborn because my past doesn't mean anything.
And you're free in that moment. Mm-hmm. To show up the most loving possible person you could be.
Well, the only thing that's left, if I am not this person, mm-hmm. if I'm not a person,
mm-hmm.
all that's left is a child of God.
There it is.
It's all that's left that I can live with.
Yeah.
And I forget my...
It might even be creative.
Might be moment. Different.
It could be different.
Be creative.
If you really had no past.
If I had no past, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, it might be really free in that moment.
Yeah.
Of what you would actually do and be.
If I could keep it up and up and up and be free in every single moment.
You just have to keep it up now, that's all.
Keeping it up. Keeping it up. Once you step into it, too. You know, when you do face somebody from the past issues, and you're the one that you've already... forgiven, but they haven't. They're still in that past.
Yes,
thing.
Yes, yes.
And to not crumble.
Yes.
And that's probably the ego fear of already projecting into the future of the outcome.
That's right.
And to still maintain that.
That's right.
To me, takes courage to
it does.
Hold that space.
It does.
But you know, Bridget, if you really think that none of your past matters, and none of your future matters because we have no control over either at this point, then the only thing that's left is love. So, for instance, I have a client. I'm not doing very well with a client. If I can just forget all of that and be loving towards this client when she comes or he comes into my presence, I don't have to worry about anything.
You're more flexible.
Yeah.
You're more available.
I'm more available.
And so would you be. By keeping out of the mud of the past or the worry about the future and staying present, you're more approachable, you're less defended, and if the other person possibly can, if they possibly can, they're going to do less attacking and defending themselves. You might actually come to a nice solution. But if there's attack and defense still going, it's just going to do what it always did.
Maybe that's what I'm afraid of, is that there will be a nice outcome.
Oh. In that case, get up your dukes and start swearing and insulting as fast as you can.
It's so much more familiar. Family-like.
Yeah, there you go. What would family be?
You know, I think a fear of losing who we are as humans is a fear for most of us. If we lose who we are, who are we?
Oh, yeah. And if you really love being human, you won't be ready. You won't be studying A Course in Miracles. If you really, really, really want to be more human, this is not the book for you. You won't stick with it. If you want to awaken to true love and happiness, which, by the way, is not human. Human nature is attack and defend and choose your favorite people to be with and fight all the rest. That's what it means to be human.
And finds out we can't even not fight with them to be human. If you're human, you're fighting with everybody, as far as I can tell.
You will fight with everybody.
I mean, just like I love my granddaughter, and I still think about this one thing she's doing I don't like.
Yeah.
So, how complete is my love when I'm involved in that?
Yep. Yeah. Good busting there. Good busting there.
So, Bridget, did you get to the point? Because for me, I kind of got to the point, maybe, of where I know, like, I'm feeling pretty peaceful now, and it's good, but most likely stuff's going to come back up. I'm going to be digging in the mud of the past, but I'm not going to condemn myself for that now.
Yep.
Even though I could be stuck in it for like days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working out of it. This is a process that instead of just going, because that's different than the past, you blew it, now I got to like punish myself for a week, try to do it right next time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now there's like a growth. Things are going to come up. They're going to come down. But I'll persist.
Yes.
But it also means the same for other people now. In other words, somebody can be having a hard day. That's just what they're having.
Mm-hmm.
My perception is they're having a hard day. Tomorrow might be different. It doesn't really matter. And so in other words, how I treat myself.
Yes.
So now, hey, you're having a bad day, Stephen. Okay, you're working yourself out of it. Somebody else is having a bad day. Okay, they're going to work themselves out of it.
Yeah, they could be reborn by forgetting their past. You could be reborn by forgetting your past and looking without condemnation on the present.
I wonder if you could be reborn by forgetting everybody else's past.
Boom! Do not hold their past against them.
Yeah.
Do not share their own suffering from their own past.
That would be so freeing, and then it would make it easier for me to remember my past doesn't have any meaning.
Hey, listen, to do all this, is there something tricky you have to do? Do you have to learn how to very precisely do something to do what we're talking about tonight? Or do you undo? It's an undo. How hard can it be to do nothing?
Really hard.
Be really hard. There's an addict. There's an addict speaking from the drug. You bet. That's what we're talking. You bet.
It's simple, and you're right. I don't have to have any special training.
You don't
just do this. I've already done a lot.
To just be present. To be open and present. Forget the past, your past and their past, and show up, look them right in the eye, and eke out a hello. Instead of you dirty son of a, I can't wait till you hi yourself. Right, you actually take a few breaths and just be present. It's not anything special or trained. It's an undoing of what you were, complex thing you were about to do and think. You just get present. Sometimes it's pretty quiet.
I think that's the value of meditation, is learning to be present every moment.
You betcha. Well, we got kind of the meat off of that. There's so much more, but we run out of time.
Darn.
So we're just going to go with that. But
I
that's
stay all night.
Yeah. Well, now that your property taxes are paid, why not?
Yeah, why not?
So let's have a circle. We got the meat out of this that I wanted to get us to. So let's have a circle now. Take a deep breath. And as you let that air leave your lungs, let with it go all of your past. everything you ever learned that was good or that was bad, that was difficult or that was easy, let it all go. And as you bring in your next breath, let it just be air. No baggage at all. Jeez, just live for the moment, people.
What am I just still tight?
No. Don't take life so seriously. Don't worry. Don't worry. Because there's truly nothing to worry about that you aren't going to have to invent first. Don't take it so seriously. Be present. Live easy. Let that be contagious. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. See y'all next week.
Thank you for the pass.
Well, that'll help.
In the moment. In the moment.